Hello, good evening.
We'll go ahead and get the meeting started. It is now 5 o'clock, Tuesday, December 19th. We're conducting our Orlama board meeting. And first, we'll do a call to order. Can we get a roll call, Director? Excuse me, roll call, Patricia?
Certainly. Director Duncan.
Present.
Director Stelzman.
Present.
Secretary Lee.
Present.
Vice President Young.
Present.
And President Simon.
Present. Thanks for our Pledge of Allegiance. Director Stelzman, would you mind leading us? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
General public, we have no members of the public present in person. Do we have anyone online? Any members online of the public? No. Okay. Next, we'll move to the consent calendar. Do we have any comments or questions on this item 5? If not, can I get a motion to approve?
Move to approve the consent calendar, Director Lee.
I'll second the motion, Director Stelzman.
All in favor?
Roll call.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Apologies. Roll call vote, please.
Director Duncan.
Aye.
Director Stelzman. Secretary Lee.
Aye.
Vice President Young.
Aye.
And President Simon.
Aye. Next, we'll do employee recognition. Item number 6-1, Jimmy.
Yes, this is official.
Yes, this is official recognition for our finance department. Individual members, including finance manager Liliana Moreno, accountant Pearl Gonzalez, and administrative support specialist Maria Garcia, for all the work in achieving the GFOA certificate of achievement for the district. So this is just official recognition. This was brought up last meeting, but didn't make it to the agenda until today.
Any comments?
Congratulations. It's a really good achievement. I'm glad we've reached that award for another consecutive year.
Congratulations. It's our 28th year, and you set a very tough bar to beat.
Well, I think we tried to thank you for this at our last meeting, so we'll all thank you again. I've been here 10 years, and 10 years of thanking you for this award has been wonderful, even through new employees in the district. So congratulations, Lily, for climbing on board with this new award for our district.
And I agree with all of my colleagues. Congratulations, Lily, and appreciate all the support you've done. And this is another excellent achievement for Orlomo. So thank you for adding this to our list of awards. Nice job. Next, we'll go ahead and move to item 7, Community Authority Association Reports. Director.
Yeah, Director Duncan asked me if I would prepare this report for her. So the Solid Waste Committee met on December 11 at 9:30 in the morning. We changed our meeting time, you know, so we didn't have to meet in the late afternoons. We had a normal staff was there. Our general manager, Natasha Brown, and solid waste consultant, plus the waste management staff. They come once a month now or once a quarter, I can't remember, but it's always good to see all of them at the meeting. There were no public comments. There were no public in attendance. We reviewed the strategic goals. We moved to the solid waste communication metrics, which we had asked for additional information the month before. We did ask questions regarding gift cards as prizes, allowing participants to choose their prizes on the little contest that we have online, since the ages of those participating as well. I guess we wanted to know the ages and how many winners we've had And the staff will follow up and get back to us on all of that. There is an attachment so you can look at the report on the metrics. Item 6 was public education and communication. Natasha reported that in the month of November was provided to 25 commercial customers who received multiple container monitoring incidents in September. The assistance included information about 1383 and right-sizing of their collection services, signage, and staff training. Of the 25 businesses contacted, one applied for a stop waste recycling and organics waiver. Two of them added recycling and or organic services. One received training and one received tenant kits. We had new customers in November, single family 88, multifamily 2, and commercial 8. Natasha reported on her monthly trash talk sessions, August 27, September 27, October 25, November 29, and December, and the numbers increased at each meeting, particularly in September, when she had over 100 people attending. Natasha also introduced us to the Recycling Coach app, which is now available to each of you as well. It's now part of our solid waste communication and education tools. It's similar to the one that Stop Waste has, except that it is specific to our district. It allows residents to get collection schedule reminders and to learn how to sort properly. It also includes games, quizzes, and surveys that reinforce our program. The committee did ask about the cost of the app, and the committee was told the cost is about $7,000 per year. Excuse me. There is an attachment that includes the Recycling Coach app. I've got it on my phone. I think you would enjoy having it. It reminds you of when and what you're supposed to do. Excuse me. Community engagement. We reviewed the community events. In November, there was San Lorenzo Library Story Time with about 40 people attending. And in December, Paradise Community Gardens Organics Collection Service Support for Forest Group Garden Cleanup on 12/9/23. Then we move to Container Monitoring Program, which, of course, we're going to get a lot of reports about in the next couple of months. The committee reviewed the data and revised the format per their request. The committee inquired about contacts made with residents who have several incidents. Brown stated she will be following up with customers that have double-digit incidents. Chair Duncan also recommended staff develop a method to reach out to the residential customers with more than one incident to continue to educate them on sorting. Then we moved on to the Excellence in Service Awards. Natasha reported that 18 out of the 20 waste management drivers servicing Orlama qualified for the District Service Awards by achieving 10 or fewer missed pickups in September, October, November. I think there were some substitute drivers in that time, which is why there are only 18 out of 20. There are approximately 32,000 customers serviced every week for three commodities, which results in 384,000 pickups per quarter. Each driver will receive an appreciation reward of $250. It's pretty clear to see that we achieve this because of our appreciation rewards. And we commended the waste management for their drivers. Committee thanks staff for their work and wished everyone a safe and happy holiday season. Questions?
Paul? Yeah, I'm just wondering for the container monitoring incidents, is the outreach and approach for commercial accounts, how is that different from the residential accounts?
Currently, the outreach is for, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was pointing to.
There is an effort to reach out to the commercial accounts, and their ask from the committee was to develop a program to reach out to the residentials as well, because those are currently not included as a personal reach out. It's more on the noticing side.
Commercial ones are?
Residential.
Oh, residential, okay. So that's the intention, is to be more of a personal outreach going forward?
On the residential side, for the anyone with over one incident.
So going down the road, is the fine structure for the commercial counts more hefty than for the residential? I remember reading that too.
Yes.
Further questions? Thank
you. And it all starts in January, you know.
Yes.
Up to now, they've been monitoring and no one's been charged.
Right. We're still in that phase.
Right. And I think we'll still be in that phase toward the end of January as well. Benny?
I didn't have any questions, but thank you for the numbers. I think right now we're just going through that pilot phase and a notification, and then of course the enforcement is going to start in the new year.
It starts at the end of January.
January.
Yes. I'm sorry?
January.
Mid-January. That's all.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Maybe I missed this, but it said the committee employed
contacts made with residents who have had several incidents. What's the maximum incidents that customers are receiving? Do we know?
It was in our...
Did those on page 31 of your packet? And you'll see the residential side and the commercial side. The commercial side, there's one customer that had about 80 incidents for the month of October. And on the residential side, there's one customer with 15.
A lot out of 32,000.
One particular customer
was being a bad boy.
Had 80. And do we know why or what was going on?
Look, we just got the data and we're looking into it now. Same. We just got the data. We're looking into it. Yep.
Can I say something?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Please.
Yeah, we discussed this quite a bit, although it was difficult because I was on my phone. I think it's clear. Number one, I think the numbers look wonderful, given the amount of accounts that we have. And the recommendation was for Natasha's team to reach out to customers who had, at least two or more letters, because the third one, they would be facing a fine so they could get training. And so I think, I did have a conversation with Jimmy because I thought it would be great if we could model what was happening on the commercial side. I don't know how we could use Perler to do some of the follow-up, but leaving that to Natasha and Jimmy to decide how they want to develop the follow-up program. But if you look at the numbers in comparison to the number of customers that we have, I think it's very impressive. And I'm very pleased with it. I don't think that the committee know think that I am, but I am. But I think we can tweak it a little bit and do a little bit more follow-up and let people know that they will be fined and that we do have various tools and training programs for them to know how to do the correct thing as far as being in compliance. So that's what the committee really discussed. And I'm still excited and kind of impressed with our customers and how few incidents that we have. So I just wanted to say that as being a member of the Solid Waste Committee.
Good, thank you. And I really like the concept of following up with the residential customers and providing my only
thought after I thought about it a little bit, Jimmy, is there any way for us to look to find out what area those particular incidents are occurring in so we can maybe target certain communities? Is that available or no?
I'll have to find out and get back to you.
But you understand my question?
I do.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Sheila, for reporting.
No problem.
Thank you. Next, we'll move to item 7.2, Personnel Committee. Director Stelzman.
Yeah, the Personnel Committee met on December 13th, just after the Employee Appreciation Luncheon. I called the meeting to order at 1:30. Present were myself and Director Lee, General Manager Dang, and Admin Services Manager Luna. No members of the public were present. At this meeting, we had two principal items that we were discussing, both of which are presented at today's board meeting. And they're both policies. The first policy is an existing policy about amended compensation, travel and meetings, benefits and post-retirement, med benefits, et cetera. There have been some language changes and some syntax changes. Keep in mind that our general counsel also reviewed this policy, and we'll get more into detail on that on this meeting today. And the second policy is a new one, a first draft amendment audit policy. And this one focuses on identifying areas of the district that are available to the public and which are not. And our general manager will identify the reasons, the origins of this policy and how it came to be at this meeting as well. When to item six, we review the status of strategic goals and also the KPIs. At this time, we discuss which KPIs we're looking at, and going forward, once the 10-year strategic plan is approved by the board, we will identify other KPIs to put on this committee that will make for more meaningful discussion, being that most of the KPIs that exist now have already been met. Item eight, we had a recruitment update specifically for the new field engineer position. It's still ongoing. It's still in progress. We had staff and director comments, and we adjourned the meeting at 2:17 p.m. Any questions? Director Lee has a comment, I believe. Yeah.
Yes, I just want to clarify for the item where it says Director Lee asked to continue track and footnote trainings by staff. Really, I was focusing on extraordinary events, such as, you know, when we had a number of folks out for COVID, or, you know, or if we had an extraordinary weather event that includes our ability to meet those goals, we should footnote it. We don't need to track missed trainings. We're already tracking the trainings as they are.
Director Duncan?
Yes, please, Director Duncan.
We're going to view the draft policy later, aren't we?
It's on the agenda.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Director Stelzman. Next, we'll go ahead and approve the minutes for entry into district record.
I'll move item 7.3.
I'll second. Director Lee.
Roll call, please.
Director Duncan.
Aye.
Director Stelzman.
Aye.
Secretary Lee.
Aye.
Vice President Young.
Aye.
And President Simon.
Aye.
Thank you. Next is item 8.1, authorize GM to execute an agreement with Andy's Construction. Jimmy?
Yes, we are continuing our sewer line replacement program efforts with the loan money received from SRF and WIFIA. We are bidding out phase 7 now out of 10 phases. You can see the bid schedule there with seven bids that came in, with the low bidder being Andy's Construction for about $4.9 million, and ongoing sewer work with the engineer's estimate of $5.4 million, so well below the engineer's estimate, and we'd like to award the project to Andy's.
Questions or comments?
Well, as a member, I'm sorry, you have a question.
You started. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as a member of the construction committee, I would happy to move this item.
Just curious as to why the Ranger pipeline bid was almost double. What were they thinking? They didn't want the work, right? Clearly, unless they really had to take it.
Don't ask them specifically, but generally, when the contractor throws a number like that at it, they hope it sticks, and they hope that no one bids it, and they either don't need the work or, as you said,
maybe, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
I will second your Director Young's motion.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Duncan?
Aye.
Thank you. Director Stelzman?
Aye.
Secretary Lee?
Aye.
Vice President Young.
Aye.
And President Simon.
Aye.
Next, we will do item number 8.2, approval of amended compensation, travel and meetings benefits. Jimmy.
Yes, this is a edit to a previous existing policy to further clarify what's reimbursable, how it's being reimbursed for as far as travel goes, what the costs are based on, when a director may be compensated for services related to which meetings are attended. So all those various markups are noted in this draft, and I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Comments? Yeah, I don't see Director Duncan. Make sure you're okay.
No questions. Thank you.
All right. No questions from my side. Yeah, is there a motion to approve?
Yes, I would like to move this item.
I will second the motion, Director Stelzman.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Duncan?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Aye.
Secretary Lee?
Aye.
Vice President Young?
Aye.
And President Simon?
Aye.
Great. This item passes unanimous. Next is item 8.3, approval of public access to district property policy.
Yes, this is a new policy. As Dr. Lee and Dr. Stelson mentioned, this was reviewed by our general counsel as well. This policy was born out of the necessity to essentially protect our staff from the public coming in and what they're identifying themselves as First Amendment auditors. And there's a prevalent, there's a presence on YouTube of these groups going into public agencies, particularly around law enforcement and courtrooms, but any public agency, they've been to the education facilities, sanitary districts and the like, water districts, and they walk into an area of filming and really try to invoke a reaction out of the staff by entering areas that aren't clearly defined as inaccessible or accessible. So in order to protect our employees, there's been cases where the people on to our filming asks the question, well, there's no sign here that says I can't enter. So we've since put up signs everywhere denoting areas that are not accessible to the public. In addition, the question has also come up, well, do you have a policy that states that? And that's where this policy was born, to identify areas that are fully accessible, limited access, and restricted to employees only. That's the premise behind this policy.
Dr. Duncan?
I think it's great. My question has to do with, you know, when individuals sign up to use our training room, is this a policy that we provide to them, you know, when agencies, so that they're aware of it? I mean, because it's a policy, but if the public doesn't know about it, it's not something that they can adhere to. I mean, we can tell them that we have a policy, but I'm just wondering, I don't know about the scheduling of our training room, but is this a document that we would want to provide with agencies or individuals who want to use our training facility?
Also, the training facility requests so far have been our partner agencies, which we're more than happy to share with them. This is more geared towards a member of the public who would really be more intrusive than anything else.
So we don't have public individuals wanting to use our facility?
I have not received a request.
Okay. But if so, what would we provide them?
Generally, the training room isn't open for the public to rent or use currently. It is shared amongst our agency partners, but currently it's not open to the public unless they're there for a plant tour or something where they're being escorted by personnel themselves.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
Questions or comments? Director Lee.
I just want to note that during our personnel committee, we actually had a very thoughtful discussion. We actually bounced back and forth, and we believe that this policy is good. And, you know, next year we're going to have to review it again.
This is a first draft, and of course, it's subject to any revisions or changes as we see as we go along, just like any other policy.
Well, I would just say that I appreciate the work they've done on this. This First Amendment group that is continuing to blast around to public agencies has been very clear in their intent, and that is to embarrass agencies and or to sue them in court and or hold them up for money, much like the folks that have caused a lot of trouble with handicap bathrooms. I'm sure you've heard about that. And some of the litigious people out there who just are interested in causing trouble. So I'm grateful that you took the time to review this and ask questions. And I think it was very intuitive of our staff to bring this up as a policy before we're subjected to the action. So thank you for letting me comment.
Questions? Have we had any experiences here with this occurring yet? The training room, we have workshops there, which are open to the public, and we've had no public attempt to attend those meetings.
No, and if they wanted to attend those meetings, it would be open to them because there's a public meeting taking place in that location. So that part, that facility is identified in a limited access area.
And we call that out as specific because it is a limited access area, but unlike, you know, the rest of the plan is off out of bounds always and closed. It's on page under limited access areas, it's number D, and we say, you know, the operations training room is a limited access area, but if there's a meeting, a Brown Act meeting that's occurring there that's open to the public has the right to attend. And but they need to go, straight to that, you know, take the direct path there. They can't explore the rest of the plan. And this only applies to the public, you know, when the public is out on their own. It doesn't apply anyone who's accompanied, invited by staff for a tour or, you know, a regulatory agency that's coming for an inspection or anything like this. It's really just members of the public who have the right to just wander in here. Anytime they want, we want to make it clear that you can't just wander in whatever you want, whenever you want. If there's a meeting going on in that training room, you can wander into that training room during that period, but otherwise it's not open to the public, you know, unlike the lobby, which is open to the public for someone to just walk in anytime during business hours.
So the workshops that we have in the training room, how do they gain access?
So they would ring the front gate, they would ring the doorbell and we'd buzz them in.
Okay, so that's the main vehicle gate?
Correct.
And as far as opening up the room for public use, other than our member agencies, if there was a bird watching group or some other group that wanted to use that room, what is the venue for that? To have this discussion here at the district to implement that?
That'd be a vote by the board, thumbs up or thumbs down, put it on the future committee agenda for discussion. Currently, the having the public on site unattended provides a security risk and a safety risk for the public, which is a reason for this policy. And the reason why that room is particularly has limited access.
This room, this boardroom, available for public groups to use?
That's a good question. We've never been asked, so I actually don't know the answer to that unless the board allows it.
The rules be the same as far as having staff, having to staff it and be public?
The district doesn't currently have a policy that allows any of its facilities to be rented. If the board wanted to, that's something that could be changed in the future.
Security, there's no operation of treating water here, but I take it, are there other security risks here in this building?
Absolutely. There's private records in the office. There's areas that if the public were to be left unattended, could access areas if we're not around.
Thank you. All right, any other questions or comments? No? Okay, is there a motion to approve this policy?
I would like to move to approve this.
Second the motion, Director Stelzman.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Duncan?
Aye.
Director Stelzman?
Aye.
Secretary Lee?
Aye.
Vice President Young?
Aye.
And President Simon?
Aye. Yeah, all right, this item moves unanimous. Next is staff presentation, year in review. And just as a heads up, I'm going to have to leave at 5:40. No rush, Jimmy, but I have to leave at 5:40
I think I can get through it in that time.
Okay, no rush. But if it doesn't finish, then Director Young will take it.
I can say meeting adjourned.
Right. Thank you.
Now this is a new, can I start?
Please, okay, please.
This is a new item. We haven't done this in the past. Wanted to provide, at the last board meeting of the year, kind of a quick summary on the accomplishments that the district has achieved under the direction of the board, and I wanted to just share that with you guys here today. As you know, we are dedicated to serving the community and protecting our environment, which is our motto here. And it's evident in first with the plan compliance in the year 2023. So we've had 6,422 days of continuous compliance with the NPDES permit via EBDES permit. On our initial outfall permit compliance, we are now at 336 days. That was longer in the past, but due to the storm we had back in December 31st and the subsequent atmospheric river events, we're now reaching a year since that event. Projects that were awarded are over $100,000 in this past year. The Consolidated Operations Building Art Plaza, Pony Pairs Project 2022-23, which is $700,000. The EV Charging Station Project Design Work, Sewer Collection System Pipeline Phase 7, that was awarded this year as well. That was, I believe, in the $5 million range. And of course, in the last two board meetings, I believe it was the Digester Rehab Project Design for $1.4 million. We also had completed projects this last year, large dollar projects over $100,000. Phase 2 of the sewer line program, also Phase 1, the H2S Sponge Project, the RAS Heading Modification Project, the Shoreline Adaptation Demonstration Project, the Consolidated Operations Building Art Plaza, so that was also awarded and completed within the same year, and we also had a plant paving project. So you can see we accomplished a lot of large projects this year alone with the engineering staff. And we have a slew of projects that are still ongoing that are either spanned across multiple years or were awarded this year that didn't meet the $100,000 threshold that is still on the docket for working and continuing to the new year. One of the highlights this year is the expansion of our solid waste program. We have hit many items and included a lot more outreach during this year in managing the contract with waste management. We launched a volunteer litter pickup program. We expanded a containment monitor program. We just talked about that today at the Solid Waste Committee Minutes. We partnered with the San Lorenzo Library and outreach with waste sorting sessions and story time events with the public. We partnered with local supermarkets and grocery outlets, tailoring opportunities, and offering all the patrons coming in education material and discussions on how to sort their recycling, organics, and trash. We also launched the monthly virtual talk sessions, which we've never had in the past. We also launched the Student Summer Challenge in partnership with the library and waste management. We also provided many education presentations at local HOAs, Stop Waste Recycling World, the Chairman Community Association, Eden Mac, and the Fairview Mac. We also reached over 250 multifamily dwellings and units with the help of Perla and WM. And we average, also, we just talked about it today, the drivers at Waste Management are performing astoundingly with the no miss pickups or the very, very low miss pickups relative to the amount of pickups they have every month. And we overall sum it up in increased community engagement. We're getting out there. Lastly, this ties into the community engagement. We heard about, let's see, 8 events we staffed this year alone. And that's almost one per month of going out on the weekend or after hours, get out there with staff, tabling an event, educating our constituent, our customers. I do want to also mention that we had some significant turnover this year. We had less than 10% staff turnover. And of course, we have 46 employees, so 4 employees will bring you up to the 10%. However, it's still significant just based on the number alone. So first, I want to just mention Bubba. He's a new plant operator one. You may recognize him from his service at EBDA prior to joining Orlando. So we're very happy to have him. He does have an environmental studies degree from Cal State East Bay. He and his wife, Erica, celebrated the birth of their first child in April. So that was congratulatory, absolutely exciting. We have also Karish, we call him by Cyrus. At least that's what he's asking us to call him by. He has an economics and business administration graduate from UC Riverside. He does have a grade 4 wastewater license, so kudos to him. And lastly, he did celebrate his wedding day just 5 days after his first day on the job here. You all know Liliana Moreno. She was a new hire here as well. She was a new finance manager. She has a bachelor's degree in business administration and accounting focus from SF State. She's a member of many professional organizations, financial associations, and she has over 20 years of experience in this arena. And then, of course, our new administrative services manager, Janelle Luna, who has a bachelor's degree in political science at Berkeley and a master's in administration at Cal State East Bay. She's a ratepayer, so she lives in the district. And she's been in Orlando for over 20 years, and she speaks 4 languages, English, Spanish, Polish, and Lithuanian. Lastly, there's been a number of achievements that the staff has achieved, not only on the personnel level, but also at the district level. So on the personnel level, recently we just had correction system worker Logan Ravel achieve his grade 3 certification in corrections. So that through CWO. We also have construction inspector Steve Tang in his grade 1 correction system maintenance certification. Janetta and myself earned our certified special district manager certification through CSDA. And lastly, the district hasn't made only 4 achievements this year. One is the Specialist District Leadership Foundation District Transparency Certificate of Excellence, that's through CSDA. CWA, San Francisco Bay Session Correction System of the Year Award. CSRMO Workers' Comp Excellence Award, that's in safety. And lastly, we talked about that today, GFOA Excellence in Government Finance Award. So just a quick summary to sum it up. More information for the board members to brag about on behalf of the district. So thank you to the board members for all the support during the year. Thank you to all the staff for their support. Couldn't do it without them and without you guys. Thank you.
Questions or comments?
Wow. That's my comment.
Good one.
Wow.
Director Duncan, comments, questions? Can't see you.
Oh, are we ending the meeting?
No, this is on Jimmy's presentation.
Oh, great. Great accomplishments. Very excited about it. And we'll do more next year. And period. Congratulations to all of you who received certifications. And glad you new hires have joined our team. So that's
Thank
it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Director Lee.
It's a wonderful year in summary, and of course I look forward to this next year.
Thank you for that presentation, Jimmy. It's always good to highlight those milestones and achievements that this district has carried out through the year. So it's encouraging to hear that these are points that why this district is so great on many different levels.
Well, other than saying wow, I would like to say that in the 10 years that I have served this district, we've never had a year-end report, and I am impressed I can't imagine that we could do everything that was on that screen in 1 year, but I'm mightily impressed. And I think we owe a lot of it to you, Jimmy. You were a great hire for us. I will always be grateful that we hired you as our GM. And you've done a yeoman's job, as my husband would say, if he were here. So thank you for all your work.
All my colleagues, excellent job by the whole team, everyone included, Alex, Patricia, everyone on Zoom, and all our other staff here at Oro Loma. And I especially like the personal touch you put to the presentation about the gentleman's being married and the new baby coming. And we're family here, and it's really nice to hear the little personal touch from everyone. So that was really nice.
Can we get a copy of the slides?
Yes, please.
Yes, that'll be included in the minutes.
Love to have that. Thank you. Good job. So next, real quick, item number 10, staff director comments. Jimmy?
Yes, I sent an email to the board. I will be on vacation starting after this meeting, and I'll be back on the 29th. So I'll see all of you in the new year. Bill Hostel, the district attorney, will be in charge. If you so need to reach someone at the district, I will be available as well by phone, text, email, and happy holidays.
Alex, city comments question? Director Duncan?
Oh, yes. I do have my new grandson.
Yay!
Miles Byron Mason was born on Saturday, December the 16th at 9:27, and oh, what a way. My daughter ended up having a C-section. But anyway, that's one of the reasons I extended my stay. Excited about, I was invited to serve another 3 years on the CASA board. They are reappointing me. So that's an achievement for our district as well. And just want to thank all of my fellow directors and staff for all the work that they've done this year. And I'm wishing each of you a very wonderful, joyous, blessed Christmas. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Selzman.
Yes, this is a great way to end. I think this is the last meeting we'll have for the year. So once again, another
second to last.
Board meeting in total for everybody being here. Another shout out to Lily and Pearl and to Maria for the GFOA award. And another highlight for this district, I think, that we should point out is that it's very proactive in making policies rather than reactive, and also very flexible in order to make amendments or changes when needed. So that's another thing we should point out as well. So I want to wish everybody a good holiday. Well, spend some time with your families, be safe, and we'll see you next year.
Like those on comments, and I echo those comments. Jimmy, as well as all staff who are going to be taking some time off, well deserved. You guys definitely earned it, and you've made this district what it is. Thank you.
I actually have nothing more to say except happy holidays to all of you, and we'll see you next year.
Happy holidays, everyone, and enjoy your time off. Thank you. Happy holidays. Meeting adjourned. All right. Thank you.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Christmas card for my son.
Bye-bye.